But boy, I just wondering if you was. I'm looking at my weather station here, and it says 5.3 inches of rain. Wow, that's a bunch, and it's still raining, Steve.
Okay, in 4BWA. So, over what time span is that 5.3 inches?
Well, we had 87 hundredths up till midnight last night, so yesterday evening, and we had 5.3 inches from midnight till right now, so that would make 6.1 or 6.2 inches total since yesterday evening.
Wow. Well, I just left Lowe's, and I picked up a home weather station for myself.
I wouldn't open it before I go over to Sam's or Costco's and look at theirs. Steve, I have three of them here. Just one transmitter unit. And the displays, I had to buy other whole units, but they were just... All around Christmas time, they'll drop down to $49, but the last ones I saw was, two or three days ago, and they were like $49, and I can't remember if it was Sam's or Costco's that I looked at the weather stations. I think it might have been Sam's, but could have been Costco's, but they usually both have them, and they're Accurites, and they're very good, and they include the anemometer, they'll receive up to 300 feet away, and they have all the parameters in the world, and then a memory on top of that that keeps scrolling at the bottom of it.
Huh, how about that? Well, the only problem is I checked over Costco where I go. They didn't have any. I have to order the thing and wait on it for a while. And this ain't Christmas, so they were getting $99 for it. And the one I got was $119, so it's an Accurite. So, you know, it's fine. Man, I just hope this rain will let up pretty soon, because I've already had wind damage on my building down on Batesville Road. And I tell you what, I was over in Spartanburg about an hour after that thing came through. It took me almost an hour and something to get from the downtown side of 29 back around out of that mess back over to 85 where I could come back.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. We've been watching it all morning on there. Well, Steve, just hang on to that, and Bernice and I'll run over to Sam's there at Spartanburg, and I'll bring you one to the Monday night meeting if you're going to come down to that at the Greer Club, and you can just pay me for it then. And I'm certain they were like $49, and I can send you a picture of it before I buy it.
Nah, I've already picked this one up, and it wasn't a bad price, so I'll just go ahead and hang in there with it. I appreciate that, Tom. Besides, I'm just about to destinate at the house, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to go inside, and I'm going to get dry, and I'm going to try not to get moldy.
Well, I guarantee you, I've looked at them at Lowe's, and it's the very same one that I've got here. In fact, I got a spare one downstairs, but I sure be glad to do it. $49 versus $119 is quite a chunk of change, but that's up to you, my friend. I wouldn't mind doing it at all. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't get hurt or involved in any of that. There was 94 mile an hour winds on the Doppler radar there at Spartanburg, and saw one lady that got her truck blowed over, and she had an empty truck, and she says, Bernice was telling me this. What, Bernice? It was a semi-truck. And when she got the tornado warning, it was just a few seconds later that it flipped her truck over on its side. And there was two semis flipped.
Well, trying to get out of that area. I didn't realize that's what was going on, but you know where you come into Reedville Road at 29? If you go back up 29 towards the mall, just about a, I'd say just a little over a third of a mile, there's a guy that's got campers that he stores and used campers there for sale. And he didn't have any that weren't turned over, tore up, or stacked on top of each other. And I'm talking about those big old Airstreams.
They were stacked up on top of each other?
There was one up on top of two that were rolled over on their backs.
Oh, my. Sounds like we lived 62 and a half years in Kansas, Steve. I've seen a lot of that. But, yeah, it's amazing. Well, I know from what they were showing on Fox, the local Fox station, they were showing 94-mile-an-hour winds there near the Westgate Mall in that area, and then also where you said, and then they showed quite a few, gas stations and that had signs just shredded to pieces, and then those two semis. It hadn't been too many years ago that there was a tornado went through right over there, wasn't it, Bernice? And it hit a business over there and tore the snot out of things. But at any rate, I'm glad you weren't involved in it. And let me drop this. I scratched my lower eyelid, my left one, and I had to call the doctor today, and I let my fingernails get a little bit too long, which is rare, and they asked if I wanted to come in today or tomorrow, and I said tomorrow, because I don't know if I need any medicine for it or not, but it's driving me nuts, making me blink, and it stings. Nothing seriously bad, but I told them I didn't want to come through this storm if I didn't have to. But I think most of it's all gone and to the south of us, hopefully, anyway, Steve.
Well, I hope so, because I tell you what, I'm going up my driveway right now, and my driveway is about 1,600 or 1,800 feet long, and a part of it runs downhill. I've got ruts washed into my driveway that are about 18 inches deep.
W2T Mobile.
Hi, Rusty. Acknowledged, sir. Yeah, my backyard, there's a few areas out there that look like a pond, but it drains good. It's a good old clay soil. Go ahead, Rusty.
Hello to Steve again. He and I have been meeting several times out here, and hello to you, Tom. When I left the house this morning, I pulled out of my driveway and turned and went up the hill. I looked down the hill the other direction to where it went down the road across the creek down there, and I could see beyond the out of air near the creek on the right-hand side of the road, water had flowed out of where the road was out there. It had filled this field to the depth of probably a couple of feet of water, and this is from a creek that feeds over there off of a lake. But it's getting heavy raining here where I am again, but I made it through, went to my therapy, and got my other, what else I needed to do done, and had lunch, and now I'm headed back to the house to stay until tomorrow, and all. So, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know if you heard me tell Tom, but I'm destinating. And I'm going to go back in the house, watch the inside of my eyelids, and hope that I don't get moldy. Man, then I was relieved to see, when I pulled into the driveway, my tower still standing. So, listen, be careful out there, Rusty. You know, what's that water on the road? Oh, and I've been listening to the 14547 Skywarn Network, and they said that they're not saying which river, but it sounds like that they've opened up a evacuation center at the Covenant Baptist Church in Spartanburg, and one of the rivers is about to come out of its banks, and they're about to start evacuating people along there. So anyhow, I'll let you guys carry on. This is KN4 VWA. Rusty, have a good day. Tom, try to stay dry.
And KJ4YQK.
There's acknowledging Dave. I'm staying inside. I haven't been out even to go visit the girls here out back, the chickens. I'll turn it over to Dave, and Rusty, I might ask how your hip turned out. I got my imaging back on my shoulder, and of course it says right shoulder mild degenerative joint disease at the acromyoclavicular joint of the shoulder. And so I got to get another shot or something there, I guess. Anyways, KJ4YQK, N0TR. Go ahead, Dave.
KJ4YQK, on the roaring Saluda River, about to break its banks. We're probably expecting, I'm not sure they're going to make a mandatory evacuation. That might happen in the next hour or two. My brother's up talking to the fire department now, and they're in the process of making decisions.
Hopefully you won't get flooded out over there, David. And you guys be careful over there, because I know you live right over on the river. And that church in Spartanburg that he was talking about was Covenant Presbyterian Church, and I know where they are. And that's over on the river. I'm just on a creek over here. It feeds off of a little tiny creek and all. So it put enough water to put out in the field next on the other side of the road down there. It's going to have to come up a good ways to get to my house. But hopefully it'll flow on down and meet up with the river further down. So anyway, but I'm headed back to the house. And it turns out I have what they call an inflammation of the bursa's sac. That's a fluid sac that's down in among your muscles, down right in your legs and all. And that's what's causing my pain. No injury, no damage to the joint or anything, Tom. In fact, the doctor says my joint's looking in good shape, not a problem with either one of them, right or left. But he says that sac is it that holds that fluid, which keeps fluid into your tendons and things, is got an inflammation in it. So they gave me a cream that I have to put on every 8 hours, three times a day. It usually gets on about twice, and rub it into the upper leg below the hip, and then. Also, I'm going to physical therapy, and they've started me on a series of exercises that will work on loosening those joints and getting everything back up to where they're supposed to be. So that's what's going on with me. Go ahead, Tom.
This is N0TR. Fine business, Rusty. Glad to hear it. Well, mine's mild degenerative changes in the shoulder, and when my last year I worked at a hospital as a technician, and I fell on the black ice and knocked my right shoulder out of joint 2 inches and tore the rotator cuff and tore the labrum and got 6 hernias. I'd have to explain that, but it's the gospel truth. Anyways, all that's fixed, but I think that I'm paying for that fall. It was the hardest I ever fell in my life, and I worked up to 65 feet in the air for 32 years, and I fell on the sidewalk right in front of the emergency room, putting out salt and helping old folks get in. Anyways, Dave, I hope you do all right over there with that water. I knew you lived down by the river, but I didn't know what the danger was. I thought it was a ways down to the river from where you're at. And I guess you're driving home from work out there, KJ4YQK and 0TR.
And KJ4YQK. Now, I work from home now. I was 60 feet from the river, and now I'm 40 feet from the river. So it's creeping up the that slight bank there. And we're waiting on a decision by the fire department if they're going to do mandatory evacuations or not. So a lot of it depends on where the rain goes. It's coming in the next couple hours.
Bristol.
Yeah, I was maneuvering into my yard where the mud has all washed down from my next-door neighbors, where they're building new houses over here by me and everything. In fact, when I went out this morning, I looked up their driveway, and coming down the new driveway, I don't know how far you got into his driveway, but they had a spot where it was about, 6 or 7 inches wide and probably 5 or 6 inches deep, where it had just washed out a groove, the water coming down. I mean, the water was coming through my yard. In the corner of my yard at one point today, I had what was a lake, which was about 6 inches or 7 inches deep down there in the corner. Well, I have arrived back at the house. I'm going to take all of my stuff and get inside. I'll turn the radio on inside once I get in there. I'll get back with you. WU2D clear for right now.
Okay, Rusty. Well, glad to hear you're all right and things are doing good. Oh, well, Dave, we've had 5.35 inches today and 87 hundredths yesterday. And I believe that's more than we've ever seen before. It's presently 59 degrees and 2920, so the barometer's looking better, too. Over.
Hey, maybe we'll get lucky and the rain go to the south of us. Yeah, I'm out here by the bank. My river deck was about 10 feet above the water level, and now the river is lapping at the top deck boards now and started creeping into the yard more and more. So we might get lucky. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty much gone south as of, an hour ago. It seemed like that, the area south of I-85 is what was catching it now. And especially the severe weather, but there's a little rain left. But usually those things don't crest right away, so it might come up some more, Dave. I hate to hear that. I'd recommend letting the insurance pay for your hotel and go up to Cherokee Casino in Cherokee, North Carolina. If you got to evacuate, might as well do it in style.
Yeah, we leave for Walt Disney World on Saturday. That's the sad thing about it. I got the camper ready to go. It's already packed. We just got to hook it up and go. Now, my house is built for the 100-year flood. So I'm thinking if it does get up there, I might get some stuff weighed in the basement, and it won't get into the house. It's still got another, once it gets to the house, it's still got another 8 feet vertical to get up into the first level.
Well, that's wonderful. We're fortunate to live on a hill. We live right next to where W4DJW used to live many years ago. And his house would have been at the top of the hill, and we're just one house below that. And there's a tremendous grade going down towards the west. And so don't think there's any chance of flooding here. If any water gets in the basement, well, I have one of those dry-all systems that we had it put in when we moved here, and it's like a 6-inch trough, but you can't see it. It's down underneath, and it catches the rain and sends it to a sump pump should there ever get any in there. And we've never had any problems with it. Now, my neighbor does. He gets rain in his, but we're very fortunate there. It was an expensive modification when we first moved here, but it really makes you feel secure. And then we got a 21,000-watt Generac sitting out back in case the power goes off.
Yeah, that's why I spent the extra money on my house. I knew I was right on the river. So I got about $20,000 in my foundation for the 100-year flood, 21-inch footers, pillars all interconnected with rebar and concrete, so it's ready. I don't want to test it, but it's ready for it.
Yeah, we'll give you an attaboy there. You just never know what Mother Nature is going to dish out to you.
KB4CBA.
Go ahead.
So, David, where do you live? You're that close to water.
I'm up in Danketsville, up on Danketsville near the Rebel County line, right where it loops and it comes down to Hunts Bridge.
Yeah, I used to ride that a lot on my motorcycle.
Just about a half mile where North Saluda jumps into the middle and south. Middle and South Saluda runs by the house.
Well, how's your place doing, Dave? Yeah, CV8.
Yeah, we're great here. I mean, we just got a little light rain, and there's, let's see. Well, I was going to say there's a creek down back here, but I don't think there is one. We're in good shape. If we flood, then there's going to be a lot of people right there with me.
Got a D1 and a D2 on here now, and instead of a T1 and a T2, KJ4YQK and 0TR.
And KJ4YQK. Yeah, I heard Dave Watson on here earlier and stuff. Yeah, I'm real high up. I kind of more worried about my neighbors and stuff because mine's built to flood standards. Theirs not.
Well, let me ask you a question to both of you. Do y'all do much work on 6-meter sideband?
I don't do any 6 meters. Go ahead, Dave.
I know 6 meters here, but I've been thinking about trying to get Wyatt to come up on 6 meters for some GS8. Oh, because above 10 meters, you can leave your station automated.
All right, so can you give me that in English?
Okay, anything below 30 megahertz, you can't leave the station to operate by itself. It must have a control operator present. And I believe 6 meter, you don't need a control operator to be present. So you can set it up where it can repeat for you. So I'd be running like a JS8, that's a data format, and people will be able to relay off that radio if I have it set up. Similar to the old packet system, but using HF and sideband.
Okay. So now I understand what you're talking about. Well, I was just looking at some, dipoles that you could run up in your attic for 6 meters, and but I just wondered how, how busy 6 meters is on sideband. I've got a little 6 meter HT here. It's for FM, and my 7300 will do 6 meter FM too. So, and there is a 6 meter repeater around in this area. I think it's in Glassy Mountain, Pickens.
Dave, go ahead. I can't answer any of that.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose we don't have more 6 meter around here. 6 meter, you can talk further simplex on 6 meters than you can 2 meter, I believe. That's just my opinion there. Because in the military, we're right above the 6 meter band, and we can get some good distance on that on that frequency there.
Dave, they call 6 meters the magic band, and it's either in or it's out, and I think a lot of it is kind of rarish with atmospheric ionization and ducting and things like that, and so I wouldn't think there'd be very much there, up there in that 50 megahertz band, but I'm no expert on it. But I know back in Kansas, my buddy in 0IGZ, he worked DXCC on 6 meters, and at the time, he was a very poor guy, and he, at the time, I think, he only had like 3 watts or so, but when it's in, it's really in. And now Bill in 4IQ, he runs some 6 meters, so he'd be a good one to go to. But Frank had worked all over the world on it, but it was gone more often than it was in, put it that way. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I mean, I can get a dipole for like $69, and you know, of course, it's just 4 or 6 meter sideband, so. But anyway, well, I'll just have to study on that a little bit and see what I want to do. I'm looking at I'd like to have a 2 meter 440 rig. I got to take this is my wife. 73 is gentleman, KB4CBA.
Yeah, run a scanner on that antenna you got up there already, your Wyndham, and you might be surprised. You might be able to talk on in. Send Gerald TR. Go ahead, YQK.
And KJ4, YQK. Well, I'm looking at the river. I haven't seen it rise much. Before, you could see it rise.
In and out. I was thinking of 2 meters when I said that. I know my Wyndham, it's been a long time since I ran a scan looking for that, but I think it actually would resonate at 2 meters. But I don't know how good that is or how reliable I am without looking. But I got a graph of it down there. But I think Dave, before DJW, did that graph, and then Ariel did one before I had an analyzer. And I thought Dave said that. But it's been quite a few years ago, Dave. Go ahead.
And KJ4YQK back. I had a flat battery. Dead.
You're on the batteries. Yeah, it's kind of funny what sometimes those antennas will resonate at something that you don't dream of. Right now I'm having trouble with my beverage, and I've checked it, and I ran an analyzer on it, and it attenuates my signal. So I was just sitting here reading a book on them some, and they have a reversible beverage at DX Engineering, but wow, it's expensive for what it is. And you can make one for a little or nothing, so I might just redo the one I got. But I'd like to have it reversible in both directions. That would be kind of cool.
I think about running one along the riverbank to see how it does. Just curious what the water will play on it.
You never know. You can run a beverage on the ground. All I got to do is get some of that, I think they call it a flooded RG8. And it's got kind of a gooey stuff in it. And you can buy it off of eBay or places like that. Really cheap. But I checked continuity in mine and went down and checked the resistor in it. And all mine's made out of is electric fence wire, Dave. Now, Bill, in Far IQ, he runs some beverages on the ground. And, of course, that depends on your surface. But you might even be able to do that. They call them a bog, a beverage on the ground. And he's had some pretty good experience with that from what I've gleaned from him. Mine's about, anywhere from 6 feet to 10 feet off of the ground. And that's about where they recommend it. And I forget the length on it. It's pretty long, 265 feet or something. For some reason, I can't remember that footage, but it's got to do with the band, of course, the wavelength.
Nashville will run one down here. I was kind of looking at the radar to make if we're going to get more storms or not. What do you think? Is there going to be more heavy rain coming our way?
I don't know. I'll open the laptop here. It's right in front of me. That now, Dave, just at home?
Yeah, sitting on my deck, keeping my eyeball on the river.
Well, might as well grab a fishing line and throw it out there, hadn't you? Do they catch trout or anything up there?
Yeah, the part of Saluda that I'm on does have trout. We got trout, some bass, and catfish here.
No kidding. We had strip pits where the old strip mine used to be that were all, some of them was 100 years old. And they were, I'd say, most of them were about 30 feet deep, but, this silly thing, I gotta hit the mute button. But they had one that was 80 feet deep that a stream ran into, so the Kansas Fish and Game stocked it with trout. And that's the only time I ever went trout fishing, although they had trout fishing just to the south of us down in Missouri. But they were rainbow trouts in there, and it was sure a lot of fun. Those are fighting son of a guns.
KB4CBA.
And go ahead.
Well, I'm back. I was, that was my wife, and it wouldn't have gone well if I hadn't answered the phone. So anyway, yeah, I'm just scanning around here on 6 meters on five band just to see if I hear anybody. I don't. All the signals I'm seeing are just noise.
Well, Dave, looking at the radar, it looks to me like that most of what we're seeing, we're in the green, and I'm not exactly sure. Dacus feels northwest of me here, I think. Most of the yellow stuff in that has gone south of us, and it kind of splits there also on each side of the mountain, and I don't foresee that we're getting any of the heavy stuff, but it still goes back down there a long way, so it could still be just a generalized rainfall.
Okay, maybe we'll luck out and go south of us. Right now it's just kind of a sprinkle over here. It's like a light rain.
That's what I'm seeing, but it goes clear back down to the panhandle of Florida. It's a long one. I forget what they called it, some kind of river of rain. So it's definitely been a very highly dangerous system.
I think I spot a little bit of droppage here. And as for 6 meters, if I can get wide on 6 meters, that'll go real good for JSA. Take a look at JSA.
And Dave, too.
All right, so what's GSA?
JSA, Japan. A, Alpha, 8. It is a weak signal digital mode.
Okay. So, heck, I haven't even got this thing hooked up for FT8 yet. And now they've come out with FT4. I can't get, I'll need some help with getting set up, my computer set up. Going through the setup part of it, I'm stuck. I've got the cable, the radios. You just plug it in the back of the radio and plug it in the computer. But anyway, I don't know if I want to do any FT8 or not.
It's not my cup of tea, but Dave, YQK is kind of like W4DJW, an extremely smart person when it comes to IT stuff.
Yeah, well, Dave Anderson said he'd help me with it. I just need to call him back and set up a time to, you know, get him over here. Excuse me, that's on me because I haven't called him back.
I know Rusty set up for it.
Well, the more I hear about it, not a conversational mode, and I'm not sure I would enjoy it anyway. So I'm just thinking, you know, what's the, how to go to all that trouble and then not enjoy it, not use it.
Yeah, JS-8 is a RAG 2 mode. It's like FT-8, FT-4, but a lot of people RAG 2 with it.
Well, there's generally been no propagation out here lately because of the sunspots, but it's getting better. Yesterday I talked to Kuwait and the Cocos Islands, and I talked to Kenya on 20 meters CW, and so there is some out there. And I talked to South Africa on sideband the other day. It's just been a few days ago. That was like a telephone call. So there is some out there. And then HU1DL is a German de-expedition down in El Salvador. And they've been on the air a lot on all bands and all modes. But unlike you, Dave, I'll use sideband or CW. That's ham radio to me, but there's a lot of guys using that digital stuff. And RIDI, you might say, is a digital mode, and a lot of guys enjoy that.
Okay, I'm going to back out of here. I'm going to fix myself lunch. I eat lunch. So I'll say 73 to y'all. I'll talk to y'all later. KJ4, YQK, will be clear.
See you later, Dave. Good to hear you. And stay safe. Send 0TR.
All right, Dave. You take care. It's good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. 73, and this is KB4CBA. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, I'm just sitting here watching Curry and Hayes on an old Western there on TV. Oh, gosh, can't remember the name of the show, but I can figure it out here in a second.
I just kind of, well, I'm supposed to have praise band rehearsal tonight, and my minister of music texting everybody wanting to know if they can make it. So I guess he's just checking to see if anybody's, you know, going to have to cross over a bunch of power lines or go through a lake or something to get the rehearsal.
Roger. Well, there's been a lot of stuff canceled out there this evening, even a lot of schools letting out early and closing up. Well, I went over to Alaska State Troopers. Laredo was on, and I've seen a lot of them. That Alias Smith and Jones was one I was watching, but I didn't have any sound turned on. But I like these Alaska State Troopers. Wouldn't you love to be up there in that area and have to go out after everyone there's got guns? Yeah, there's no question about it. And then the other one I like is Life Below Zero, and that reminds me of Bernice's mom out on the farm. And I love to watch that. We just got streaming Spectrum here. And so it's on the cheap, but does everything we want because we get 30 or 40 over-the-air channels.
Yeah, we have, what do you call it, Apple TV, and we get all the networks and channels. I can't even name them all, but you know, I mean, it's really more than I can watch. And so anyway, what was I going to tell you? I just hit the reverse button. I can hear you on the input.
Send 0TR. Well, fine business, Dave. I just got done eating some homemade stew and some homemade breadsticks that Bernice made and a big old glass of milk. Well, this antenna out here is just a little diamond antenna. I think it's about 4 foot tall and looks like a piece of 3/4 inch fiberglass out there, and it's on the carport. Works really well. And, we got Netflix, too, if we want. And I just keep it for the grandkids, mainly. And then I got that Apple TV free for a year. Now, I've only looked over there twice at it. It seemed to me like everything on that was pay-per-view, and I ain't paying per views. There's too many. I got Amazon TV, and we look at it, you know, the Prime. But they got a lot of stuff on there that you don't have to pay for the movies. Because I don't know what these new movies are anyways, and I don't care to watch them because most of them are a little foul for us old-timers. So I don't even watch them. And, but we do watch Prime and occasionally Netflix, but rarely. And over-the-air TV is 99% of what we watch, and it's got everything we want.
KB4CBA. I was just dragging my feet in case somebody wanted to jump in. Well, let's see. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do with this 6 meter dilemma. I guess I'll just have to. What I was going to tell you was, I'd really like to have a radio that I could do crossband on, and you know, like I could drive, I could be, you know, just drive to the store and leave my radio on crossband and in the car and take my Baofeng in the store, and then I could just talk to anybody I wanted to on, you know, through the radio in my car, you know, on crossband. So, and Yaesu has a nice 2 meter 440. It's about 320, I think. So I don't know what I'm gonna spend my money on. If my wife has anything to say about it, I probably wouldn't be buying anything.
Roger. When the War Department speaks, listen, Dave. She'll keep you in line. There are some other ones out there. I can't think of the brands. It's been so long since I looked at radios like that that'll do a crossband repeat. Now, I got a handy talkie that'll do that, but I never did try it. I always figured I'd foul it up. We had some guys try that mouse up the repeater for a while. If you don't know how to do it, and I didn't, and I didn't care to learn. But it is a handy thing for those reasons. But I'd buy a Kenwood or a Yaesu or something like that, or something that was a name brand, that's for sure. The Baofeng, not so much.
Well, the Baofeng I would use just to transmit to my car, so, you know, I'd be in the store transmitting on my Baofeng to the crossband radio, and it would be doing all the work from there on. Yeah, I mean, this little Baofeng is, you know, as long as you're outside, you know, I don't have any problem. In fact, I was working on my car one day, and I was talking on my, I got a dual bander in it, and but it's an old one, old Icon, and it doesn't have crossband on it, and so I had to unplug it for a minute for something, And so I had my valve thing there, so I turned it on and started talking on it because we had a QSO going, and I asked them, I told them I switched, and they said they couldn't even tell the difference.
Well, you need to talk to K4SV. I wouldn't be the one to argue that point with, but if it works, that's good. Alenco makes good radios, and they offer a analog dual band, 2 meter, 70 centimeter. It's called a DR-638. Ham radio outlets got them. And then, I don't know about these other ones. They got a 6 meter mobile here, it looks like. And a lot of them have a tremendous amount of capabilities nowadays, digital and whatnot. And I don't know anything about digital 2 meters. But it's out there, and I was looking at this other one here. It's just 2 meters, and I don't see where it's crossband or not. But you look at the Lincos there at HRO. Be a good place to start if you're looking for lower priced ones, I'd say, Dave.
Yeah, the one I've been looking at HRO, and the one that I've been looking at is Yaesu. It's FT8900, and it's I think it's like 319. I think they're doing like a $10 off coupon right now.
I like my Yaesus. I've never had a bit of trouble with them. I think Phil NGU had a problem with his mobile. I was going to tell him he could, I got a spare and he could take it and try it, and it's a Yaesu. I've never had a bit of problem with it. I forget what his problem was, but we was talking one day and I was up north and I had to pull over and stop, and he wasn't very happy with that thing. But I've had Yaesus for years and years and years, and Kenwoods. I had a little trouble with some Kenwood 2 meters, but I guess you could have trouble with anything. But the Yaesu 7800 and 7900, that's what I have, and they're great radios in the car and in the truck. And this one here is an ICOM IC208. They don't make that anymore either. ICOMs, ICOMs. But it works okay.
Yeah, my the one in the car is an ICOM. I think it's 207, and they replaced that. It's 2 meter 440, and it's a 4-digit model number now. I can't remember, 2030 or something like that. And but mine's, the only thing mine's done, it only does it intermittently, is sometimes it'll drop out of transmit when I'm talking on it, and I'm not keyed down on it for a long time, so I don't know what causes it, but it's very intermittent, and it rarely happens, so I'm not really worried about it. Knowing dang, I think it's 15, 20 years old.
And zero TR. Well, this FT8900 is a little different than mine was here. It said, let me see, that's on the receive. High power output, 50 watts on 10 meters, 6 meters, 2 meters, and 35 watts on 70 centimeters. And that's the FT8900R. Wow. That does a lot of things. 800 memory channels. Crossband repeater capability. And everything else you'd ever want. I don't know how much it is, because this is an HRO catalog, and they don't give you prices in there, Dave.
Well, I've been looking at them online, and they do give you the prices, so. And like I said, I think it's regular $329, and they're offering it for $319. They're offering a $10 coupon right now. I don't know how much longer that's going to last, but I mean, $10 is not going to, you know, make me not buy it if I decide later to get it. But anyway, it's just something else. I would put that in the car, and then I'd bring my 207 in here probably, and use it to talk on. This is an old Kenwood mobile here, and it's so old that the model number is, I think it's rubbed off of it. I've got the manual for it though. Let's see what this thing says. I can't even see it with my glasses on. So anyway, so I think this thing was built in the 90s.
That's probably like Tom, so old the model numbers wore off.
Uh-oh, definitely there goes the neighborhood. Well, good to hear you, Bob. ND7J and Gerald TR.
Yeah, and I don't know how long I'll hear you guys because I'm way out here in Fairview, but wanted to say hello anyway real quick. Hopefully you're copy ND7J.
Sound good, Bob. Hey, I've been meaning to call you. You remember that old 20-amp power supply that you gave me to look in? I told you it wasn't worthy of fixing. Well, the other day, Bernice was bored with me, and she said, you need a project. And I thought, well, I'll just go back and tear into that. And about 2.5 days work. I don't know what I'll have to bill you for it, of course. I had to drill the rivets out and take the back plane off and all this. Turns out it had a power transistor with a leg that was actually broke. And then I put a brand new IC in the voltage regulator and worked like a champ. It didn't work then. And I thought, well, I'll get the meter out. And I went to checking voltages, and it said that brand new IC, that 723 that I put in there, was bad, and I stuck another one in there because I have a few of them, and it worked like a champ. So I got it sitting down here with your name on it whenever you want. It's only been there about a year. Go ahead, Bob.
Didn't get all of that, Tom, because it's very choppy where I'm at, and I'm sure it's because of where I'm at. But so let me know what I owe you or whatever. Not a big deal. And call me on the phone. I'm not sure whether you guys are copying me. ND7J, go ahead, David.
Well, I could hear you, and you know how much you owe me. Nothing. I enjoyed doing it. But just got to get it to you somehow.
Well, good. I got an Alenco you can look at. If you're not going to charge. Oh, me. Well, Tom, I hope you're doing well. I haven't talked to you in a while. And I hope things are going well for you. KB4 CPA.
Missed it. You called Bob Tom. You're in trouble. But if it's a switch mode, forget it. Throw it in the trash. But this was an analog, and it just looked like it was way too much, too many hours to mess with. And I just did it for the fun of it, Dave. And I don't do it commercially. I do it for my friends. And of course, you're not one of them, so you know where that puts you at.
Good, nine alive. Sorry, Bob, I didn't mean to insult you by calling you Tom. I guess I just had Tom on my mind there. I thought I might get a freebie.
Up near Hendersonville in the hills there, I think, Dave. Is it an analog one, Dave?
You're talking about the radio?
No, I don't know how to work on those. Power supplies is what I worked on for Bob.
Yeah, I got a Lenco radio. I had it worked on, and then it worked fine. First time I hooked it up, and then I had to put this Kenwood mic on it. which by the way, if you ever need to do that, you can switch them, at least on this model, the Kenwood Michael fit little Diolinco, works perfect, because I had a mic problem with the Diolinco mic. But then I hooked it up the second time, and they said I had a hum and a squeal or something, and I think it's just going to have to be a paperweight. And I dropped down to low power, because this thing's getting a little warm, and I'm hitting the repeater okay.